Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Ah, Danielle, it's Ben Crenshaw.
Ah, Ben Crenshaw, I've got some tee times for you, and the forecast is really nice today if you're going to get out on the golf course, unless, of course, you're going to check out some of the most beautiful places on earth. Hanauma Bay is looking particularly fantastic. All right, let's get down to it. First off, Volcano Golf Club. If you're going to be on the Big Island today, heading over that way, there's an 832, a 924, and a 1048. Makalei, there's an 830, a 918, an 1102, and the Bagel Boys are on the golf course. May you hit the sweet spot every time. Poipu on Kauai, there's an 850, a 920, and a 1048. Kauai Lagoons has an 830, a 924. The Vacationers are on the golf course this morning. Thank you for stopping into Hawaii for your vacation. Perla Kalauau, there's an 840, a 928, a 1024. Hawaii Kai, 836, 908, 1010. Turtle Bay, there's a 910, a 958, and a 1052. Royal Hawaiian Country Club has an 848, a 903. A 1028 if you're sleeping in and don't feel like jumping out of bed. Eva Beach Golf Course, 836, 918, 1024. Bayview, 846, 10 o'clock, 1120. And now we go to Maui, Wailea Gold, 940, 950, 1150. And there are a couple of tournaments happening at Wailea. One is the U.S. Kids. And the other is the Ka'anapali Beach Club. They're out on the golf course. Emerald, there's an 11:20, 12 o'clock, a 12:30. And if you'd like to get out on the blue course, there's four openings right now. 11 o'clock, 11:10, 11:20, 11:30. Grab it. And let's see now. Maui Nui, 8:30, 9:20, 10:08. The car guys, of course, they're on the golf course. They're on the golf course. When do you guys sell cars? Now, how about the forecast? I know. What's the wind speed going to be like? Well, right now, Saturday, northeasterlies up to 15 miles per hour. So much easier, but still, watch for those gusts. Mostly sunny skies. It's going to get hot. Showers in the morning, a little bit isolated. The high today between 81 and 86. That's what I mean about it's going to get hot. But there is a chance of rain, too, occasionally. Saturday night, partly cloudy, isolated showers after midnight, low about 73. Oh, we'll get a good night's sleep. Chance of rain about 70%. That's in the overnight hours. And if you're going to go out on the golf course on Sunday, mostly sunny, isolated showers, high 81 to 86. Northeasterly is still 10 to 15 miles per hour and a chance of rain 20%. All right, we're going to get right into the clubhouse. Bob Herrig is joining us, analyst and commentator. Right after this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club, brought to you by Pacific Repair Services. Located at 540 Lagoon Drive across from JN Motors. PRS does appliance repairs, maintenance, and sales. The Newtown Driving Range. Warm up before your round or wind down after work. The Newtown Range operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. The Aloha Section PGA. Teach your kids to play golf. The game that lasts forever. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips in Evilay next to Costco Gas and in Waipahu. And teaching pro Claude Brousseau at the Wailea Golf Academy, Maui. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, Bob Herrig. He's the author of Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry. Golf Writers Association of America. He attended the Indiana University Evans Scholarship way back. Bob Herrig's most recent book, though, Tiger versus Jack. It's been 40 years since Jack Nicklaus won his final tournament at the Masters, nearly 30 since talk of Tiger Woods chasing his records began. And Bob Herrig says, so I wrote a book, Tiger versus Jack. Golf's Great Debate, a celebration of two of the greatest golfers that explores their records and examines two of the greatest golfers of all time, including the tangibles that made both icons. Welcome into the clubhouse, Bob.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Now you're coming in. Sorry about that.
No problem. No problem. I just introduced you about, you know, your latest book that you've written, and that must have been interesting, putting the two of them side by side and then writing the book about their accomplishments.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about Tiger and Tiger and Jack, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes, Tiger and Jack.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the interesting thing about that great debate, which I really think it is, and will continue to be, is that it's been a debate for 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, people started talking about Tiger and Jack when Tiger wasn't even halfway to Jack's majors, which is really kind of remarkable when you think about it. I mean, we actually thought that it was possible that somebody could get to Jack Nicklaus, which just seemed preposterous when you consider that nobody else in Jack's lifetime had gotten more than halfway to him. You know, Gary Player and Ben Hogan had 9. Walter Hagen got 11, but he was done winning majors before Jack was born. So in the entirety of Jack's career, only one player actually got halfway to him. So to think that Tiger Woods or anybody was going to come close to challenging that was really kind of crazy. And yet nobody thought it was crazy because they all knew how great Tiger was.
Yeah, that was the amazing part about Tiger Woods. At his age, everyone believed they could see him beat Jack Nicklaus when it comes to winning. And it was kind of preposterous. Nobody ever thought a youngster, which, of course, Tiger Woods was compared to Jack Nicklaus, unless I'm wrong. Here's this young guy, Jack Nicklaus. He's number one in the world. How could he possibly be beaten by Tiger Woods when it comes to winning victories? So I think that's – I'm looking forward to reading your book. Where can we find it?
Well, you can find it on Amazon, and you'll have it tomorrow. if you go to Amazon, that's the easiest place. But you know, Barnes and Noble, Target, any places you can order them all online. There, there's Kindle. There's an audio version. So it's pretty easily accessible.
Excellent. Now, whenever we think of a writer, we think of someone who is publishing their work in various. Where are you putting your work out to now?
Yeah, I'm helping out with a golf newsletter called The Daily Drive. It comes into your inbox 5 days a week. Next week it'll be every day during the U.S. Open. And it's just a different way to consume it as opposed to going to a website link. And so I encourage people to hopefully check it out. There's a free version that's limited. There's a subscription version that gives you the whole thing. And there's different ways to consume it, but the easy way is you'll get it in your inbox every morning.
Excellent.
And it's through Substack, which is a very popular place for independent writers to share their work nowadays. And I hope people check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's called Daily Drive.
Daily Drive, right.
I love it. Let's go to the U.S. Open. Are you going to be at the U.S. Open? Of course. Bob Herrig is going to be at the U.S. Open.
Yes. Yep, I'm going to be at Shinnecock. I'm looking forward to it. It's a great venue. It's one of the classics. It's one of the U.S. classics, and it's probably as close of a course as we have in American golf to Lynx Golf. You know, I mean, the way our topography and soil is in the U.S., it's very, very hard for anything to really be a true lynx, like you have in Scotland and England and Ireland. But Shinnecock is about as close as it gets.
Wow.
You know, it's right near the ocean, and it's got that sandy soil base, and it plays kind of like a lynx. And through the previous history U.S. Opens at Shinnecock, it's been tough.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think Retief Goosen is the only player in the modern ones, there have been four, who finished under par. You know, Brooks Koepka was even par. I believe Raymond Floyd was one over. Corey Pavin was even. I mean, it's a to think. Just consider this: at the last U.S. Open, Tommy Fleetwood had a putt on the 18th green on Sunday to shoot 62, wow, which is 8 under there. He missed it, which cost him missing a playoff. He finished with 63, and yet nobody in that tournament finished under par. So, I mean, that shows you how far over par he was, even with the score of 7 under in the final round.
Wow.
I mean, they eased it up on Sunday after a lot of controversy. but you know, the golf course is stout, and I think we're in for another good one.
Absolutely. Now, you didn't mention Tiger Woods. Did he not play at Shinnecock?
He did play there in 2018. That was the year he was coming back from the spinal fusion surgery, and Tiger missed the cut.
Right.
At Shinnecock. And in 04, which was the other time it was there when Tiger would have played, Retief Goosen beat Phil that day. Phil was the only other player under par at 2 under, and Phil had a really brutal double bogey on the 17th hole that cost him a shot at maybe winning a second straight major, because he had won the Masters that year. But Tiger in 04, Tiger was not really in the mix. That was the year Tiger was a little bit down. His game was down. He was in transition. And, you know, he came back the next year to get back to where he had been.
Right, right. Was it because he was doing changes to his swing, to his body, to goodness knows what?
That was the time frame when Tiger had left Butch Harmon.
Yes.
And he had gone to Hank Haney. And he was still toying around in 04. I want to say he only won once that whole year.
Yeah.
Which was like, you know, like for Tiger to win only once, the world was coming to an end. that was obviously very difficult, but he clearly emerged from it. He won two majors in 05. He won two majors in 06, one each in 7 and 8. So, I mean, he won six majors in the next 3 years after that.
You know, is there anybody who's going to be like, you know, the world is coming to an end because Tiger Woods only won once? You know, it's an amazing place. He's like stands at the pinnacle, at the top of Mount Everest when it comes to accomplishments, at least when we look back at all that he did. Do we have anyone like Tiger coming through?
I'm sorry, Danielle, I missed you there for a second.
That's okay. Do we have, I'm just curious, you know, do you see anyone coming to the levels of excellence that Tiger Woods got to, like the pinnacle? Do you see anyone coming up in his footsteps?
I think that's going to be very difficult to ever see something like that again. You know, Scottie Scheffler is certainly, got some of those characteristics. You know, he's won four majors. He's won 20 PGA Tour events. This year is a year that's a little bit off. which is going to happen. But so does he. And when I say off, he still has a lot of high finishes, but he's just not been winning at the same clip that he had been. So let's say he, you know, this is a bit of an off year. Does he regain it next year? I mean, think of what Scheffler has to do to get anywhere close to Tiger. He's got to double his output of tour wins and majors just to get halfway to Tiger. And if he did that, it would be incredible to get to 40 wins, to get to 8 majors, which nobody since Tom Watson has gotten to 8 majors other than Tiger. Nobody other than Phil Mickelson has gotten to 40 wins other than Tiger. Phil had 45. So, you know, obviously, comparing eras, which was difficult to do, which was a big part of the Tiger Jack book, it's harder, I think, as we go along to win. You know, it was harder for Tiger to win than it was for Jack, and I think it's harder for Scheffler to win now than it was for Tiger. There's just more good players. They come from more places. It's just the nature of sports that it gets more competitive.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We were really lucky to see the Tiger era, to see the excellence that it could bring about. The drive, the determination, I will not lose. There's no way I'm going to lose. And that fighting constantly. Phil Mickelson, you know, I got to go back to Phil because he kind of upset the cookie box. Goodness gracious. Phil has been accused of manhandling a woman. He's been kicked out of his country club. What's going on with Phil Mickelson?
Yeah, look, you know, I wish I knew more about that situation other than what Golf Digest reported. You know, there's the woman, the alleged woman, did not cooperate with Digest. There does not appear to be any police, charges filed or anything like that. But, you know, the smoking gun is that Phil was apparently kicked out of that club.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, that's okay. And Digest didn't write that story without vetting it. You know, like, people think that those of us in the media just throw stuff out there. No, they don't. You are not going with that unless you feel very, very confident that you are right. You know, they said they talked to multiple sources. Now, it appears that Phil is pushing back on this, you know, and look, it's his right. If he feels that this story has been portrayed wrongly, it's his right. But, I mean, I think in the bigger picture of Phil, this is really kind of sad. You know, regardless of the veracity of this story, he's only played once all year. He has cited a family health issue with his reasons for not playing. He missed the Masters. He missed the PGA. He's not exempt for the U.S. Open. He has entered the British Open, but we don't know for sure if he's going to play. In fact, just earlier this week, I had a text from Phil that was before all this came out. And obviously, you know, I don't think he's going to tell me about this. But I had just asked him, you know, if he was still considering playing the British Open. And he got back to me and he said that, you know, he is. But, you know, and if he does, then he would probably play the remaining LIV Golf events. But if he doesn't, he might not play at all. And he reiterated what he had said before in statements that he's been dealing with a family matter. Mm. And you know, I don't know what that is. I don't want to speculate on it. Mm-mm. But I mean, it's enough to keep him from playing golf all year except for one tournament.
Wow. Well, I hope he comes, you know, back. It's really sad because not only have all these things happened in his world, Phil Mickelson was a big part of LIV Golf. I mean, wasn't he a big booster behind it? And now LIV Golf has sunk to the lowest levels imaginable. And the amount of money that they're spending to do shotgun starts, I mean, their production costs have reached $6 million per event. $6 million for one golf event. No wonder they're broke. I mean, the PGA Tour doesn't spend that kind of money for a shotgun start. I don't understand this. Bob Harry, can you help me?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, as all this relates to Phil, I think it really hurts Liv right now that Phil isn't around. Because, you know, Phil might help them sell their product. He was big in their launch. He was one of the first players that signed. Very controversial. And now he's in the background and they're, you know, they're sort of fighting for survival. The thing that you mentioned about the TV and the shotgun start, I actually wrote about that extensively yesterday in my Daily Drive piece, but it's maniacally expensive the way they have done their broadcast. You know, the quality that they've tried to deliver, televising a shotgun start means, now you don't have to do it this way, but if you want it to be high end, you have to have the TV tower and a camera person on all 18 holes. And on some of the holes, they have another one. Now, like, you know, at a PGA Tour event, you don't have a tower on every hole. There's, you know, it is probably not even half the holes. And some of the stuff is done by handheld cameras. Some of the holes are not manned. My understanding is a PGA Tour event production costs are half of what LIV has been spending. $6 million plus an event just on production costs, which worked out to like $90 million a year. So, you know, I put forth the theory that they might have to consider scrapping it.
Yeah.
Now, I got some pushback on that. It was like, oh, they still want to keep it. They're just going to do it different. Well, if they do it different, the quality will be lowered, you know. And so, and look, in their defense, a shotgun start is part of their ethos. That was what made them different.
Yeah,
they wanted to do something different than traditional golf, and that's what a shotgun start is. Now we can argue whether or not, from a competitive standpoint in golf, that's a good idea. A lot of people don't like it, you know. You're not playing the holes in the order in which the designer intended them. But, you know, in terms of the viewing product in person and in terms of the broadcast, there was a lot of positives about it. So do they do it now, but in a reduced capacity, or do they scrap it and go to something else? That's what we're going to see, and that's even if they live on next year.
If they live on, very well said. This is Bob Herrig. He writes The Daily Drive. It's on Substack. It's a free, there's a free version. There's a subscription. And you really need to get to Daily Drive, read Bob Herrig, and he'll be at the U.S. Open at Shinnecock next week. So he'll have a lot to say then. Always a pleasure speaking with you and getting the information from you. Thank you so much, Bob, for spending so much time with me.
Thanks a lot for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Aloha. Kevin Rybalski, PGA, KMR, School of Golf, Kaneohe, Hawaii. I always wanted to know more about how I can get my game in order, and he's going to help us. He also teaches yoga, and he's a handstand teacher. I got to meet this Kevin Rybalski, PGA. You're on next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Yeah. Boys and girls, learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
And want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
You know what? It stopped raining for a little bit. We're going to have some overnight showers, but fortunately, it's not pouring. So it stopped raining for the most part. And to help you through the chaos of getting everything put back together again, and boy, that is still the case for so many people who suffered through the Kona lows twice, destroying not just the surrounding part of their homes, but part of their homes, sometimes all of their homes. So Aloha Power's After the Rain Sale features the Honda generators and pumps and chainsaws and whackers and trimmers and a whole lot more, and still 25% off. They have service, they have parts and accessories for every rider, and from home to commercial-sized, mow it, blow it, you know, put it all together with the blowing, bag it, and you're done. Get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, Evilay, next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
And from the KMR School of Golf, Kaneohe, Hawaii, Kevin Roboski, PGA, welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You and your school, one of the most beautiful parts of Oahu. Tell us, how do we find KMR School of Golf?
Sorry, can you say that again? How did I find KMR School of Golf?
How do we find you? It's so beautiful that where your school is, it's kind of between the Like Like and the Pali. So how do you, if I'm coming from Honolulu, how do I find you?
Well, you can go on my website, which is KMR School of Golf, and you can look at all the information to take lessons, to play golf. We have the front nine at Ko'olau still open, and we have, I think, the most beautiful driving range on all of Oahu.
Yes. From the pictures that you posted, I couldn't agree with you more. You also have the highest average lessons per month. You've been voted the number one golf instructor in the state of Hawaii by Golf Digest 4 times. And 2-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year and a junior golf leader. Of course, you're the owner and operator of the KMR School of Golf. The Field of Dreams, is that what you call your destination?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's this golf school to me has been the accumulation of, you know, my teaching career. And it's really an idyllic place. I mean, it looks like the Garden of Eden. And so, yeah, it's just a magical place. To see the Ko'olau Mountains and how the sun, you know, goes through those ridges, it's just amazing. So, yeah, I'm really blessed to be there. And, yeah, it's a very special place to be.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Now, a couple of things. Let's go way back in the Wayback Machine. Who got you into the game, and how old were you when you started?
Actually, I started relatively late. Probably at age 16, I started the game, and I just was self-taught in the beginning. This was probably in the early 1980s, and back then, I was reading Golf Digest magazine articles and Jack Nicklaus's book, Golf My Way, and Ben Hogan's book, The Modern Lessons. And so that was really my start in golf. And then when I came to Hawaii when I was 18 years old, after I graduated from high school, then I was lucky enough, Greg Nichols at YLI Country Club hired me in the carp barn. And and then I started my professional career eventually.
Wow. All right. What made you want to be a teacher?
It's just interesting. It's just teaching has always been, helping people has always been in my personality. I think to be a player, you have to be very, I guess, self-driven and really focusing on your own goals. And for me, I've always wanted to help other people, even more so than my own game. So, I was just drawn to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I were to come to you and say, I really need some help with what is the one thing in this game that makes people the most confounded? When somebody comes in, how many people will come in for putting? How many come in for, distance? What do you think is the most needed lesson?
The thing that we always come back to is sort of rhythm and tempo. It's like the root of all evil in golf swings is tension and effort. Mm-hmm. And so, you can have a slice, you can have an over-the-top swing, but the reason why people do those things is they're trying to hit the ball too hard and they're too tight. And so the first thing I always try to do is get people to relax and swing easier. And then we start from like a very slow baseline and then we gradually build it up. And so if people learn to have a more graceful swing, a lot of the errors go away.
Well, I think I live in the tension and trying too hard department.
Yeah, that's 100% true. I mean, 99% of the golfers are just trying too hard. And, YouTube and these things, a lot of that information, some of it is good information, but it's just information overload. And it just makes people want to do too many things at once.
Yeah, I know. You teach yoga, right?
Yes, yes. And that's very much part of the yoga practice, too. In fact, yoga has helped me become a better golf teacher.
It's become a better golf teacher, and the golfer taking yoga probably a better golfer as well.
Yeah, the one thing that I never really thought about before yoga was the breathing. Mm. And so the breathing practice, being able to control my breath has really helped me control my nerves and helped me, one of the things I try to do for my own game is I try to find the flow state. And that's what yoga is really all about, is just you flow from one movement to the next. And so it's really transferred to my golf game.
A lot of people talk about the flow state, and I think a lot of people don't understand what the flow state is. Can you elaborate?
Yeah. I think, in sports we call it the zone. You get into the zone.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously, it's not that easy. Otherwise, everyone would do it.
But, yes.
It's a balance of just complete relaxation and complete focus. And then that balance is just a hard place to find.
Yeah. I'm talking with Kevin Robofsky, PGA. He's got the KMR School of Golf in Kaneohe. Beautiful. Just looking at some of the photos, you can find him at kmrschoolofgolf.com, kmrschoolofgolf.com. So while we're talking, you can actually see that. So when you were coming, you came to Hawaii when you were 18 after high school, and you started working... Greg Nichols that you said who hired you in the carp barn?
Yeah,
great guy. And then, so you were, how did you become a teacher from being in the carp barn? What were your steps?
Yeah, so I worked in the carp barn for 2 or 3 years at Wailea, and I think Greg saw potential in me. I was going to college at the time, and one of the assistant pro jobs opened up, which at Wailea at the time, it was like maybe once every 20 years.
Yeah.
And so I grabbed it, and then I really wanted to pursue professional golf, so I went through the PGA school training to get my Class A card. And so I was probably one of the youngest in the country. I was probably maybe 21 or 22 when I got my Class A PGA card. And and so then I became an assistant pro at Wailea, and then I started teaching. And Wailea was very great. In 1994, they gave me a one-year leave of absence, and I played professional golf all over the world. And after realizing I didn't like living in a suitcase and traveling and grinding it out, I came back and I proposed to the club and to Greg and to the general manager if they would open up a teaching pro position for me. And we went through that whole process, and eventually Wailea gave me the teaching pro job.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was at Wailea from 1990. Well, I was the teaching pro at Wailea from 1995 to 2003. And then that's when I moved my operation to Koolau.
That's fantastic. Okay. Awesome. And your drive and your determination, it really says a lot about who you are. And I don't know, you know, I don't know anyone who teaches handstand.
That's part of the yoga.
You do have to tell us. Handstand, you'll teach me how to do a handstand. I can't do a handstand. I always go overboard. You know, I flip over or something.
Do you actually try to do that?
Well, I've tried. I gave up, a certain amount of years ago.
Yeah.
I used to try.
It's interesting because, you know, in golf, people don't, you know, there's all these theories about, you know, physical fitness and exercise. But really, you hold the golf club with your hands. It's like everything starts with your hands. And if you have very strong hands, it's amazing the power you can generate just with the strength of your hands. And so handstand became like my exercise.
Oh, wow. And then when it started working so well for you, you wanted to teach others.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like your hands, your wrists, your forearm strength.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really where impact is. And then I started to realize that, I could swing easier just through this training and hit the ball, generate a lot of power. So it became something that, you know, became part of my daily, you know, sort of fitness regimen. It's not easy to start the handstand practice because it is hard on your wrist. But, you know, if you can get through the first, you know, week or so, then, yeah, it's very beneficial to golf.
Excellent. Excellent. Oh, this is Kevin Robowski, PGA, KMR School of Golf, Kaneohe, a highest average lessons per month on PGA Coach, all-time voted of all time. So that highest average lesson. How many do you teach, a day? How many lessons?
Yeah, so the golf school is really my life. So I'm 7 days a week. I usually give 7 lessons a day. Monday and Sunday, I take a half a day. But, the popularity of the school is in part because we have an all-grass driving range, and you get to play the front nine. It's all included in the lesson packages. So we kind of sell it as a membership. And so lessons, practice, and golf, and we do a little golf yoga class. It's all included in the school.
Excellent. KMRschoolofgolf.com. That's where you go to find out more. And finally, I need to know, what in the world is golf in the cosmos?
Can you repeat that? Sorry, I lost you there.
It's okay. Golf in the cosmos.
Oh, okay. So my teacher is has been, you know, who really helped me learn the mechanics of the swing was Mack O'Grady, who played the PGA Tour in the 80s, and he became a coach, and he actually wrote a novel that was never published. The novel is called Golf in the Cosmos, and this YouTube series I do really pays homage to Mack O'Grady. That's my giving back to Mack and the students of his method.
That's awesome. Kevin, thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. And if you want to find him again, I'll give you this KMR, schoolofgolf.com. Great talking with you, Kevin.
Thank you so much, Danielle. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Aloha. All right, Steve Pike. Yes, Spike on golf and travel.com, covering luxury travel, golf, of course, culinary, cuisine, cruises, sports business. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the other side. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 Coach Certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Ah, Steve Pike. Make that, I have, this morning has been one of those mouth problems days, you know? Steve Pike. Steve Pike is a lifelong journalist whose career covers Major League Baseball, the NFL, college basketball, and for the first 26 years, Steve Pike has been one of the most respected voices in the game of golf and travel industries, working for such publications as Golf Week, Golf World, and Golf Digest for the New York Times Magazine Group. So in 1998, Steve Pike helped launch the PGA.com website for the PGA of America. As a freelance travel and golf writer, Spike's travels have taken him around the world. And he's played golf from Pebble Beach to St. Andrews, and he's walked the Wall of China. My goodness gracious. Steve, welcome into the clubhouse.
Oh, thanks, Danielle. How are you?
I'm fine. I am just, you know, when I read what you've done, you've climbed the active volcano in the Canary Islands. You've been on safari in South Africa. Is there anything you haven't done and want to get accomplished?
I'm going to sort of take a book out of Jimmy Dunn's, take something out of Jimmy Dunn's book. And Jimmy said recently he wanted to play golf in Tasmania. So I think I'd like to join Jimmy and play golf in Tasmania sometime. That would be fun.
Tasmania, where Tasmanian devils or something. What is it about Tasmania that makes you and he want to go to play golf?
Well, I mean, if you've ever played golf in New Zealand at a place like Cape Kidnappers, it's like, it's not otherworldly, but it is, you know, some of the most incredible views, some of the most incredible land that you've ever seen. And Tasmania is too. It's just, it's a different world. It's a different experience. And I think that's really what you're looking for is to sort of challenge yourself and to see how good you can actually perform in uncomfortable or unnatural surroundings.
Wow, you know, that's what I call challenge for oneself, to like see if, like you said, what you can do to challenge yourself to do a little bit more, to maybe be uncomfortable, but nevertheless, you know, execute and do good in what you're doing while you're uncomfortable. And, you know, when I'm on vacation, I probably don't want to do that.
Exactly.
Okay. You know, I love what you wrote. We talked a little bit earlier. Bob Herrig was on, and we spoke about Phil Mickelson. But here's a quote. This is Steve Pike. Over the last 5 years, Phil Mickelson has squandered more goodwill than any athlete since O.J. Simpson. He's taken his reputation as a charming, swashbuckling, endearing daredevil and traded it in for something much more sinister, a 55-year-old man who is clearly scared to grow old, who spends most of his days complaining.
Well, I have to correct you a little bit, Danielle. That wasn't me. That was one of the guys from that I agreed with from FriedEggGolf.com. That wasn't me, but it was. I certainly agree with all of that. And having watched Mickelson play since his college days, there's not a whole lot more you can add to that. There's not a whole lot more you can add to that on a radio show.
No, it's tragic. There's something really sad about it, and there's some, you know, he hasn't been playing golf, and it's said that there's illness or something in the family that's a problem. Do you know anything, how's Phil?
I don't know anything. I don't know anything specific other than what he said. I know that a few years ago, and this is public knowledge, that his wife and his mother, or his wife and his mother-in-law, were each diagnosed with some sort of cancer around the same time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how serious those were. And then Mickelson was diagnosed with some sort of arthritic condition that he did commercials for some sort of medicine for at one time. I know some of the his tour colleagues were a little bit skeptical of that, but again, that's neither here nor there. That's just sort of Mickelson's world. Great athletes fall from grace all the time. I think golf likes to set itself apart a little bit of that as a gentleman's sport, but great athletes, whether they're maybe not in the prime of their careers, but after their careers are over, they fall from grace all the time, and it's nothing new. I think golf is just tries to stay above the fray when it comes to that.
Yeah, but we're all humans. You know, yeah. We're human beings. We got, you know, but we do tend to, us as human beings, we tend to elevate other human beings into some sort of clouded, you know, above the clouds, sort of godlike. And that'll get you in trouble every time, particularly if you buy into what all the people are saying about how great you are. And I think that's one of the biggest downfalls.
Right, and people, whether it's a Phil Mickelson, whether it's a Tiger Woods, you know, whether it's picking an athlete almost in any sport, whether it's LeBron James or someone like that, they've been coddled, and this is nothing new. They've been coddled their entire lives, and all they know is that. They get what they want. Mm. And sometimes that doesn't always work when people ask, it's not an original thought, but when people my friends in the music business, they'll ask, well, what killed Elvis Presley? Well, supposedly a heart attack. But my friends who are really in the music business will say, fame killed Elvis Presley. Fame killed Michael Jackson.
Yes.
It's fame is the greatest addiction of all.
Yes. Yes. And falling from fame, you know, and so then all of us, yeah. Well, moving on, let's go to, I was reading several of your articles, and this is Steve Pike, and he talks a lot about some of the things that are coming up in the game, equipment wise, and in particular, I'm going to go to the shaft maker Fujikura. They've moved into some new headquarters. Huge. Tell us about.
Well, it's they're staying in Carlsbad, California, which is sort of the mecca of golf equipment manufacturers back in the day, 35, 36 years ago, when Ely Callaway and Bruce Parker essentially started Callaway Golf in a strip mall in Carlsbad, California, and then Cobra followed, and Titleist and all of that. It's a way to stay closer to your clients. It's a way. It's an easier way to. It's an easier way to test product, because you can get people from Titleist, from Cobra, from Callaway, from Cleveland. Over to your facility, you know, within minutes.
Yeah.
And so they've got some really good shafts now. The Venturi, I can't pronounce it correctly. Ventani shaft. That's one of the more popular shafts on tour, and one of the more popular shafts among the manufacturers. A couple of the versions of it in stock shafts that are really, really good shafts. And so it's easier for them to help create those shafts and to manufacture those shafts, you know, to certain specs and to certain numbers, that sort of thing.
So I'm just trying to figure this out. So having their base in, let's see now, where are they? Carlsbad. And they're now 30% larger than what they were originally. Is that because they have so many of the different companies who make equipment? Have they? Is that why they're getting bigger?
It increases their capacity to make shafts faster. It increases their ability to and when you can make them faster and still maintain those kinds of specs,
okay,
and those kinds of standards, you can make more. You can make them faster, and then coming down to it, you can make them less expensive. So that's the whole thing. And you can up your inventory too.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Let's switch over from Fujikura to Bridgestone. They've got now. See, I don't know much about equipment, which is why I beg you to help me with this. USA 250 capsule. They're celebrating 250 years of American heritage. What's going on?
Well, Well, Bridgestone is really good at being able to, well, they're a really good golf ball company anyway, but they're really, really good too with Dan Murphy as their president, who have, Dan and I go way back. But they're really good at being able to market around certain occasions, whether it's the Masters, whether it's the 250th anniversary of the country, you know, whether it's a PGA championship, whether it's an Open championship. They'll come out with, you know, a certain theme, whether it's, you know, of a package of balls, a towel, a cap, something like that, and be able to package around it. And they can sell it to online, and they can also put it in as special offers to some of their top retail accounts too.
Right.
It's just another way to get your golf ball and your name out there and create more visibility.
Okay, when they're talking about capsules, it's like you're going to climb up to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro and you're going to leave a capsule of yourself, you know, you leave it there. Or you go to the moon, you leave a capsule there. I was like, what?
Yeah, I think it's more of a playoff of time capsule.
Yeah, yes, gotcha. And then U.S. Open. Let's go to the U.S. Open. Shinnecock, are you going to go?
Let's go.
Wow. What do you know about Shinnecock?
Oh, what I know is about Shinnecock is there's no better golf course in the country than Shinnecock. All golf courses are different. So are there some that are as good as Shinnecock? Yes, but are there any that are better than Shinnecock? I don't think so. I think Shinnecock gives you everything you want in a golf course, from C.B. McDonald to William Flynn, and being able to have everything essentially for a player right out there in front of you, and Flynn and McDonald before him, but Flynn a little bit with McDonald just sort of dares you to reach out and grab it, but just when you think you can reach out and grab it, they pull it back, and it's one of these things that. That if you don't, and it's sort of like jazz to me. If you don't understand it, it's tough to explain.
Oh yes, oh yes.
You know, you have to be able to hear it. You have to be able to see it. I can see it. I can point out to you all day. And if you don't understand great golf design, it's going to look like a golf course, but it's not. It's so special, and the angles that it comes in from, and the way that the greens are built. And, you know, especially something like the 11th green, which goes, you know, almost straight up into a mound sort of a thing. And the second hole, which is a par three, which is 250 yards and things like that. It's the third hole, which was created by C.B. McDonald, which butts up against National Golf Links, which he created back 100 years ago. You know, it's so cool, but it's really all about I think. It's at what you're going to see next week. It's still next week. Yes, is these guys try to fight the angles, and the angles are even harder to find because the way the wind blows, and the other thing too is that it's easy to find angles on the fairways are wide, so in theory you should be able to find the angles. But when you play Shinnecock and you look at it on the fairway, there's no real direction point. It's all basically flat in the background.
Yes.
So that makes it tough too. And the wind when they get down into the fairways a little bit, they blow every different direction. I mean, we know they blow into your face primarily in the afternoons on 18. Corey Pavin in 95, 96, or whatever it was. You know, famously hit the 4-iron that won the U.S. Open that year. So it's a mix of just incredible golf course architecture with guys being able to hit the ball in certain spots, and you have to be able to land the ball on the greens and hold them, because these things are going to be these things will roll back in a heartbeat on you if you don't. And the recovery shots from if you hit it short, or the recovery shots from when they roll back, are the toughest shots on the golf course.
This is Steve Pike, Spike on golfandtravel.com. He covers luxury travel, golf, culinary, cuisine, sports, business. Yes, Spike's Golf and Travel, Golf One Media. Check him out. Spike on golfandtravel.com. Thanks for being inside the clubhouse. It's always a pleasure. I'm going to have to talk to you about Blue Tees Golf coming up, and other things that we didn't have time to get to because I was talking too much. Thank you.
Anytime, Danielle. Anytime.
Thank you, Steve. Aloha. We're going to come back. We're going to go to Kauai. Poipu Bay Golf Course. Assistant golf professional Jacob Vikilia. He's going to be with us. A golfing family. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Aloha Power Equipment. It's the After the Rain sale, featuring Honda generators and pumps and chainsaws, weed whackers and trimmers, and a whole lot more. So it's 25% off. You need to take advantage of this. They have service and parts and accessories for every rider, from home to commercial sized. Mow it, blow it all together, turns into a little pile there, bag it, you're done. Get what you need. Aloha Power Equipment in Iwile. It's next to the Costco gas station. And in Waipahu.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range located in Aiea. Stop by to warm up before your round or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458. And have more fun playing golf.
KORL, Waianae, Honolulu.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Jacob Vikilia, welcome into the clubhouse. He's an assistant golf professional at Poipu Bay Golf Course. Hey, Jacob. Can you hear me?
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I can kind of hear you. It's a little scratchy on this side.
Yeah, I've been having that problem this morning. I apologize for that. How's it going right now? Can you hear me okay?
Not really.
Oh, darn it. what is the favorite thing that you like to teach?
Danielle, I can barely hear you on this side. I'm not too sure what's happening here.
Yeah, okay. I can hear you so well. It's just such a shame, and I know we're on the... So you folks do golf clinics at Poipu Bay, and I was just curious, what do you like to teach the most? What's your favorite thing to teach? Can't hear me. Oh, darn. Oh,
Danielle, I really can't hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I understand. I totally understand. We're going to, can you stand by here? I'm going to we're going to call you on our line instead of you calling in. It could be something with the incoming calls that's not working. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates, and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
Let's give it one more shot. Jacob Vecchiglia, assistant golf professional at Poipu Bay Golf Course. Can you hear me now? No.
No, I can't.
Yeah, it's still a bad connection. I don't understand why. I apologize. Can you hear me tell you that I want to set you up with a different date when we get this thing sorted out here?
I can't
hear you.
I think you said you want to. What? I really can't hear you, Danielle.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's not your fault. It's our fault here on this side, and the engineers got to fix it. It's been going on. So thank you so much. I apologize, Jacob. Aloha. Would you pick up the line and see if you can tell him what I just said? Okay. All right. So let's see. It's just so much fun. First of all, the U.S. Kids Golf Oahu Local kicks off its summer schedule tomorrow. I know that was last June 7th. That was on the at Royal Kunia Country Club. So they have some other events going on. Get in touch with the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, and they'll let you know where you can go to get your child getting into the game of golf. And they'll have so much fun, and so will you watching them grow. The peak of summer 2026, there's, an amazing lineup of men's and women's professional majors. We've been talking about the U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills, and that starts on June 18th. The KPMG Women's PGA Championship is at Hazeltine. Yeah, that's the 25th through the 28th of this month. The Open Championship at Royal Birkdale, July 16th through 19th. And the AIG Women's Open at Royal Lytham. I mean, any one of these golf courses, you're like, to die for. July 30th through August 2nd. Summer, packed, unmissable golf action across both the PGA Tour and the LPGA. The U.S. Open at Shinnecock, one of the toughest places to play, as both Spike and Bob Herrig, they were both talking about it. A course that is so much like, if anything can be, some of the courses in the European theater. So it's really great to see where we're going. And then, of course, going to the Open Championship at Royal Birkdale. Let's get a flight together. All head out there. Wouldn't that be so much fun? Michael Patrick Shields is going to be joining us. And we certainly hope we don't have the same technical difficulties we had with Jacob. It's just driving me crazy. But before we get to Michael Patrick Shields, some questions about putters and wedges. How do I learn what characteristics are best for me? You know, it's me, 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 me. But for you, too. The subtle differences in putters largely focus on look, sound, and feel aspects of degrees of consistency and performance. So different players want different things when it comes to alignment aids or impact feel. Generally, if you tend to swing the putter harder, maybe because you play on slower greens, you might want a putter that has a softer feel. Or you may just like the firmer feel of an all-milled putter. Multiple aiming cues helpful, maybe tedious to you, and you wouldn't want those. So you know who you are. When you go into a pro shop, they always have some place for you to check it out and to feel the swing. And as for wedges, our players rate the degrees of excellence full swing, greenside, and sand. You might want the wedge that scored the best in bunker shots because that's the strength of your game. Or maybe the wedge that did the best in chip shots. Maybe those matter to you more. In either case, a higher vector rating in one of those areas might raise the profile of that wedge in your personal wedge choice algorithm, but not necessarily in your friends. And that's the thing about golf. We're all different. Our bodies are all different. And how we hold things, how much tension we have in them, as we were talking earlier, you don't want tension, but bottom line is it's there sometimes. So what we need to do is go to the professional, help them help you get what you need. And we are KORLYNI Honolulu, or are you telling me that Michael Patrick Shields is on the line and we're hoping, beyond hope, that he can hear me now? I feel I'm on one of those strange commercials. Michael Patrick Shields, syndicated radio talk show host and travel writer, Gannett Newspapers, Lansing State Journal. You can find him at mibigshow.com. mibigshow.com. goworldtravel.com. TravelTattler.org, a member of the Society of American Travel Writers. Welcome into the clubhouse, Michael Patrick.
Danielle, I am in Los Angeles, where last night the United States won its World Cup soccer match.
Yes!
And today the United States is trying to win the Curtis Cup here at Bel Air Country Club, and they're playing against, as you know, Britain and Ireland. And we're into the second day of play in one of the most famous golf clubs in the world. And I'm sitting right now beside the first tee, which is lonely, and the ninth tee, which is full of action, right next to that famous white swinging bridge you may have seen, although most people don't see it because this is one of the most exclusive clubs in the world. And the Curtis Cup is played 44 times now at some of the great venues on the planet, and this is certainly one of them.
So tell us again, where are you? What is the golf course?
Say that again, if you would.
Oh, yes. What is the name of the golf course again?
Oh, Bel Air Country Club.
Bel Air.
Right in Bel Air, adjacent to Beverly Hills and Los Angeles here.
Wow. That's Bel Air. You are always at the sweet spots of the planet. Michael Patrick Shields just travels and travels and brings all this information about his travels to us. And just to get you caught up a little bit from yesterday, I'm not going to spoil it for you today. Jasmine Koo, USA, putted on the 18th hole during the four-ball session. And boy, did it work. You know, as it was said by Edward M. Pugh, you throw top players out on a stellar track and inevitably play a variety of formats that test all aspects of skill, and they just are amazing. You know, the women have been playing captaining, sprinkling in some patriotism, history, bright sunshine. I love the writing. Some saltiness for flavor, and voila. We've got another day of stellar team match play golf coming up. USA opened up a 4-2 lead after day one on the 44th Curtis Cup at Bel Air Country Club. And that is totally, I'm so psyched up. 4-2. Usually, you know, it's the other way around. So not this year. No. Could you hear anything I said, Michael Patrick?
Yes, I certainly did. That was quite the recap. And I'm going to tell you that, you know, I worked for the PGA Tour for many years. I've been involved with the PGA of America. I've been at tournaments all over the world. This one is run beautifully by the USGA. And I made a huge rookie mistake only moments ago when the first group got to the ninth tee, which is like being on stage right next to the swinging bridge there. The crowd is gathered around. And because I was coming on your show, I set an alarm for myself on the phone to remind myself to make the live call. And the second USA player was standing over her tee shot and a little song went off on my phone. Oh, it was like throwing myself on a grenade as fast as I could to shut that off. And I wanted to be 2 inches tall. But anyway, life went on. And I was then taken inside the clubhouse, needless to say, where we are now next to the tee. But I got to see the big round table. This is what I really wanted to see here because they tore down the old clubhouse. This is a 1934 golf club. A few years ago, they tore down the clubhouse and they built a brand new one. And I remember my one time I was in the old one, there was a big round table in the corner where you know, the kings of the club would hold court. I'm talking people like, for instance, the time I was there, it was Frank Cherkinian, the great CBS golf director who brought me in.
Yeah.
Al Michaels from ABC Sports, the guy who said, "Do you believe in miracles?" Yes. And Mac Davis was at the table too,
wow.
The singer. And there were some others. And I was a really young guy. I didn't even belong in that room. But it was a very funny day. And Mac Davis had a golf hat on. And it had the word Otfig on the top, Otfig across the bill. And I said, is that an insurance company or what is Otfig? And he said, no, Otfig stands for over the top F. It's gone.
That is really
but
good.
F was, you know, the full on F word is what he said that day. But
we got that.
That's what I remember. But I got to tell you, at the opening ceremonies the other day when they unfurled three giant flags, one for Britain, one for Ireland, one for the U.S. off the swinging bridge, and the national anthems were sung, it was very, very emotional, I thought, and very beautiful. And they had bagpipers, and they had the U.S. Military. And, you know, to think that in this town right now, just across the way, the World Cup is going on, major world event, soccer. Iran is going to play on Monday night. And it's kind of unusual, isn't it, to think that Iran is playing here in Los Angeles?
Yes.
And I have a little special guest for you who came along with me to the tournament today. And her name is Sarah Jawada, and she is a Persian from Iran. And she's less interested in the soccer than the golf. She's the only Iranian player that I ever know who plays golf, and she's been playing for about a year. And I thought you might like to say hello or salam. Here's Sarah.
Salam, Sarah.
Salam.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Yo, it's fabulous to hear you. And we're in sunny Hawaii, and you're in the most beautiful place on earth right now. What's the weather like? What kind of winds do you have?
It was one of the best and greatest, like, experience that I ever had in a golf course. It's a beautiful golf club, and seeing the U.S. playing, it was just, like, fascinated. Very nice.
Very nice. Is there a wind blowing, perchance, that's giving them a heart, or if things are calm?
Would you please say it again?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Sarah. It's we're having difficulties on our side trying to get through. Was there a wind blowing? Is there a wind blowing?
No. The weather is perfect today. Oh, yes. There is no, like, heavy wind, nothing. It's just perfect.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, that's fantastic. You know, it's so unusual. USA is in the lead, and usually, you know, we're just working hard. So it looks like our team has gotten everybody's on fire.
Yes, they're all playing very nice.
Yeah. And the Great Britain and Ireland, GB&I.
Yes, I know. They're all playing great golf. And, you know, I love golf because it's the only sport that it teaches patience and how to smile after a bad shot.
Yes. You're so good. Smile. No frown.
Exactly.
Yes. There will be no frowns here at this table. When did you start playing?
I stopped playing a year ago.
A year ago. And where did you start?
Yes.
Where do you live?
I live in Los Angeles, and I start playing and I teach in Woodland Hills Club.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I learned to play golf because I had a golf teacher, and we went to the business together, and that business, it didn't work. And he told me, because instead of the money that I owe you, I'll teach you golf. I said, okay, let's go to see if I like it. He took me to the golf course, and I stayed because I'm still chasing that perfect shot.
You're still, yes, you're hunting down that perfect, you know, aren't we all? I'm going to go back there and try that one more time. We're determined to kind of, now, in what country are you from? The country you're from? Oh.
You know, Danielle, it's being one of the premier women's golf events in the world right now. It's been pointed out that after COVID, the huge amount of people who decided to try golf were women, a large, large percentage. And so with the LPGA playing this week in Michigan and next week in Michigan, and, of course, the U.S. Senior Open the USGA will put on is also in Ann Arbor at Barton Hills. And so these are really special events. And isn't it sweet to hear that this international game one day might even reach Tehran? Who knows?
Yes. No, it's fantastic. That's the beauty of the game. Not only does it teach children how to interact with each other and be polite to one another.
Yeah.
You know, there's that. And then and to play around the world and get to know one another as people. Not as, you know, some entity from a foreign place, you know, to be worried about. Should we talk to them or not? That's why I couldn't remember what country Sarah is from. And to hear her accent, it's beautiful. When I was living in...
Sarah, she's from Iran. She's a Persian.
There you go.
And, you know, maybe one day we'll play at the Strait of Hormuz Country Club.
That would be fantastic. That makes a lot.
Don't hit it in the water.
No.
Whatever you do, don't hit it in the water.
So, what are your plans for the day today, Michael Patrick Shields?
There are morning matches, of course, and then afternoon matches. It's just like the Walker Cup, only for women, and the Ryder Cup, very, very similar. And they'll conclude tomorrow here with the singles matches. And then in 2 years, they're at Royal Dornoch, very north of Scotland. A very significant course. And by the way, Tom Doak, who lives in northern Michigan, redesigned this golf course just a few years ago. So it's in tip-top shape and restored to its original glory with a brand-new clubhouse. And all it takes is dreams and money to get here to Bel Air Country Club.
Yeah, a little bit of, a lot of money. I just need to, you said Tom Doak, right? And from one of the articles that I was trying to get together some information, I was reading members at Bel Air might say that Kelly Zhu was doked on the par 4 12th. She hit what looked like a solid approach to the famed Mae West green, guarded by a huge left-hand mound and right hillside, right? For reasons known only to restorationist Tom Doak, the original character of the hole was not recaptured in the 2017 project when attempting to put back the green butchered by Dick Wilson and Robert Trent Jones. I love this guy, whoever wrote this, butchered by, you know, Robert Trent Jones. He can't butcher anything. Anyway, Zoo's doked approach to the front pin came up just short and rolled 40 yards down the hill. Can you imagine being so close to perfection? And then it just went, ooh. Her second and third chips did the same thing before she finally got one on the green. George Thomas's original featured a more hospitable and golfer-friendly approach. Let's go back to that. Designed to allow for running shots up to the green, Zoo and Anna Davis ultimately lost 2-1 despite putting up a nice battle to get to the match to the 17th hole. So it's wonderful.
Ironically, I was on the media shuttle this morning with Jeff Shackelford, and last night I sent that clip to Tom Doak, and I said to Tom Doak, look what he wrote about you. And Tom Doak wrote back, he said, I guess I got Shackelford. So I told Shackelford, hey, I sent what you said to Doak. And he said, oh, well, it's kind of sensitive. And I said, yeah, I guess so. They're competitive, and
of course,
it's a little competitive because Jeff Shackelford thinks of himself as a design expert. That's all.
Well, of course he does. Most writers who get into the game, you know, when they are bringing out stuff, they consider themselves well versed and want to share what they know. And Jeff Shackelford is always fun to talk with. I'm sure he took it with a grain of salt. Don't you think so, Michael Patrick Shields? You are an absolute trooper, and I thank you so much for not only being on the show to tell me about the Curtis Cup and what's going on, tell everyone here, but also Sarah. Thank you for bringing Sarah to the microphone. That was wonderful, and I appreciate you more than I can tell you.
Aloha and salam.
Aloha, salam. And the golf club, our sponsors, welcome to the Newtown Driving Range. Let's get out to the Newtown Driving Range right away. Warm up before you, you're going to go on the golf course. You got to get warmed up. And then you wind down after work. You can just go hit balls and not even worry about it. The Newtown Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. Aloha Power. Yeah, you work smarter, faster, and easier with the tools you'll find at Aloha Power. With the Honda generators, the water pumps, the chainsaws, the riding and walking mowers, and the weed whackers. And goodness knows, there's a long, long list, and I just want you to go there. Get yours today. Aloha Power Equipment, open Monday through Saturday. Good day. At Evile, next to the Costco gas station, you can't help but see their sign by the Costco gas station. And in Waipahu, the Aloha Section PGA. I teach your children to play golf. It is absolutely the gift that lasts forever for self, for your health, for friendship and family. Go golf. And Claude Russo, a master PGA teaching professional. He's at Wailea Golf Academy, Wailea, Maui. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2026.